You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. The scripture reading for today is in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, let's open up with prayer and we'll get started. Father God, we pause now for studying your word. We thank you for the freedom to come together and do that. We thank you that you have given us the completed Word of God so we can get to know you better and be mature as Christians, handling the Word of God accurately and being good testimony for you in our lives, in our daily walk. We thank you for what you've done, the works that we do here, through the website, the missionaries, and all that you have accomplished for your will and your purpose. We thank you for allowing us to take part in that and pray that we are good stewards and be faithful to the calling that you would have us do. So, Lord, we pray for the lesson to follow that it glorifies your Son. For it's in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Christian Heritage Academy. My children go there, as well as some other folks in the audience here. And it's a great school. Every time I go to an event at that school, I am so thankful that my kids get to go there. For instance, I was at the Thanksgiving program this year, and I had I think I'd been there before, but for this year it was pretty exciting to be there. And Carter is in the choir. So he is singing up in the stands. I'm taking pictures, being a dad, and getting all the great shots in. I was up in the balcony, and the kids that go there know I like to take pictures because I'm always out at the football games, taking like 1,000 pictures per game, you know. And I've got a website where they get to go and look through their pictures and download what they want. So I think that's a personal embarrassment for Carter. You know, when I show up with a barrage of cameras, and here I go, okay, Dad, would you stop that? I said, Carter, I'm your personal paparazzi. Get used to it, bud. You know, I remember when it started, I basically had this little digital camera, and I went to these programs, and I was like, click, click, you know, and I was like, this isn't going to cut it. So I started this arms race with cameras. I bought a digital SLR, and, you know, that's only half the battle. A digital camera body is not any good unless you got a good lens. So when I started investigating lenses, it was like women's shoes. You have to have the right shoes for the event. Well, just like lenses, you have to have the right lens for the event. So I started investigating what kind of lenses can you buy, and I found some good ones for, you know, reasonable price in my mind, and I bought them and started taking pictures, and my pictures were blurry. why is that? I've got this great camera body, and I've got this lens, and I'm taking pictures. And then I took a class at Avotec because I went to get an executive portrait done of me. And, of course, I was trying to ping the photographer who was taking the executive portrait about, you know, what makes a good camera lens. You know, there was all this aspect of lighting. So when you have low light situations, you need a really fast lens. So I'm so excited. I'm getting smarter now, and I can go out and buy a new fast lens. Well, guess what? Fast lenses are like fancy shoes. They're not cheap. You know, I'm going through the list. I'm going, okay, this, oh my gosh, this is like a $1,500 lens, and another lens is like $7,000. So here I'm going into debt for getting these great lenses. But that's a long story. What I'm trying to say is I really enjoy capturing events at CHA because not only do my kids get to play basketball and football, but they get to sing in the choir, and they get teachers who love the Lord Jesus Christ, and they get taught from a spiritual perspective that is right on. And I think back as when I went through school, when I went through high school, there was no Bible to be found. It wasn't being taught from a Christian perspective, as CHA is able to do. So I was very thankful I was at this Thanksgiving program because they taught a lesson there. And after the choir sang, and the gentleman who wrapped up the program was named Mr. Aaron Ferguson. Now, Aaron Ferguson, I'm getting to know, he's a super guy. He's got a family, and he teaches at CHA, but he is in charge of certain academics and particularly in charge of the Salt and Light program at CHA, which is an extracurricular group that's focusing on being the salt and light from a Christian perspective through activities. So I've been sharing with him my website, Right Division. I've been sharing with him dispensational charts, and I'm starting to work in there and get to know him better. And he wrote he's very active. There's a website where he is in charge of, where, you know, the through the Bible program in a year. So he's written a particular study guide to take a person through the Bible in 1 year. So I've got his study guide, and I'm learning the fact that he's really written this guide not based on the King James, but the New Living Testament. So I'm getting into translation issues with him, and we're dealing with that. But this Thanksgiving program, Mr. Ferguson got up and said, okay, he asked a question. He said, I want you to turn to the person to your left or right and tell them what are your two favorite characteristics of God. What are your two favorite characteristics of God? So I thought, my gosh, you know, we got a full plate here. I mean, which one do you choose, you know? Which two do you choose? And, of course, I said grace and mercy were my two. Well, he said, you know, when he came back, he said, okay, everybody said that. Well, his favorite was providence. And providence, if you look at your handout, is made up of two words. Video, which means to see. Of course, you know it as video. And pro, which means before. So, to see before is the root word foundation. Well, if you look up providence in Webster's American Dictionary, 1828 edition, it says, providence is the act of providing or preparing for future use or application. Number three in the definition down there is, in theology, the care and superintendence which God exercises over his creatures. He that acknowledges a creation and denies a providence involves himself in a palpable contradiction. For the same power which caused a thing to exist is necessary to continue in existence. For persons admit a general providence, but deny a particular providence, not considering that a general providence consists of particulars. A belief in divine providence is a source of great consolation to good men. By divine providence is often understanding God Himself. If you understand God, you understand where providence comes from. Well, I went further than the American Heritage Dictionary. I went to Nelson's Bible Dictionary and looked up providence there. And I have this definition for you down here. It says, the continuous activity of God in His creation by which He preserves and governs. The doctrine of providence affirms God's absolute lordship over His creation and confirms the dependence of all creation on the Creator. It is a denial of the idea that the universe is governed by chance or fate. You know, the thoughts of Mother Nature, things like that, they don't exist. Through His providence, God controls the universe, the physical world, the affairs of nations, man's birth and destiny, man's successes and failures, and the protection of His people. Now, Derek took us through a study based on the question, has God abandoned America? And we learned through that study that God establishes people, and He establishes nations. And when He established them, He puts a hedge about them. And when they are in tune with God or follow God, He keeps that hedge in place. Well, when they deny God and start to deny Him and do things that aren't godly, He removes that hedge, and then all the calamity steps in. That's what I thought when I read this paragraph. God preserves all things through His providence. Without His continual care and activity, the world would not exist. God also preserves His people through His providence. Now, His people, that takes on a unique dispensational topic. When God created Adam and Eve, He dealt with mankind directly. Matter of fact, He dealt with them directly until Abraham was called out to become the first Jew. When Israel was created through Abraham, they became His people. He only dealt through mankind through the Jew. Now that was true from the time of Abraham until the time of Acts 28:28. When God set His people aside and opened up the mystery through the Apostle Paul to the Gentiles, where there was no national distinction but an individual calling through the Gentiles. Now, when you see comments about His people through providence, you can get an enormous amount of scripture where you can find God's people, Israel, was protected through His providence. And the same goes true for us. You know, we are part of God's providence as individuals in the member of the body of Christ. Now, continuing back to the handout. Divine government is the continued activity of God by which He directs all things to the ends He has chosen in His eternal plan. God is the King of the universe who has given Christ all power and authority to reign. He governs insignificant things, apparent accidents, as well as man's good and evil deeds. God acts in accordance with the laws and principles that He has established in the world. Laws of nature are nothing more the man's description of how we perceive God at work in the world. They neither have inherent power nor do they work by themselves. you know, the founding fathers of our nation wrote a document that had a comment, the law of nature and of nature's God. That made me think of that when I read, God acts in accordance with the laws and principle that he established in the world. The laws of nature are nothing more than man's description of how we perceive God at work in the world. Man is not free to choose and act independently from God's will and plan. He chooses and acts in accordance with them. In his sovereignty, God controls man's choices and actions. God's actions, however, do not violate the reality of human choice or negate the man's responsibility as a moral being. The sovereignty of God does negate the free will of man. God permits sinful acts to occur, but he does not cause man to sin. He often overrules evil for good. Now, if you go to Unger's Bible Dictionary, you get a much longer description. And on page 3, he gets into a list of five principles of particular note in any discussion of the providence of God as it appears in the Scriptures. First, God's providence is unlimited. Second, the exercise of God's providence nonetheless has respect to the nature of different objects. Third, the constant and final aim of God's providence is the fulfillment of his purpose in creation. Hold your place here. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, where our scripture reading was. Verse 9. Ephesians 1:9. Having made unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together the one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh in all things after the counsel of his own will. If we go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and having made peace through him, through the blood of Christ, his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. When you consider the providence of God, and you consider the fact that the mystery was hidden, decided upon, planned before the foundation of the world, and was in Acts 28 in Ephesians, revealed through the Apostle Paul, the fact that that plan was hidden, secret, and revealed. And there's no other plan. This was the plan. It's pretty exciting to see that the providence of God hit a home run when the mystery was revealed. Fourth, the particular steps in his divine process are often unintelligible to us, but the purpose of God is independent and eternal and certain of its realization. Fifth, belief in the providence of God, according to the whole purport of Scripture, is of the highest importance because of its connection with life and trust and gratitude and patience and hope. Now, Mr. Ferguson, in his presentation, didn't go into depth about providence as we did here. He said, you know, basically, it's kind of hard. It's pretty deep, you know, providence, you know. He had people like Clayton in the audience, and they were like going, well, what's he saying? And he basically boiled it down to three things. God has a plan. God's plan is good. And God's plan involves you. So God has a plan. If you think about providence and God having a plan, doesn't he have more than one plan? I mean, surely there are plans within plans within plans. When you look at Scripture, Scripture is merely about revealing who Jesus Christ is. And the revealed plan of God, starting from Adam and Eve, through the Apostle Paul, through Acts 28, the revealed plan was revealed in Scripture. They were given a status as a nation. Mankind could go to the Scriptures and look what his plan was. But if you look at your handout, page 4, it says, "Remember the foreign things of old, for I am God. For there is none else. I am God. There is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure." Obviously that was in the prophets, in Isaiah. But when you look at Ephesians, if you think about this plan being revealed, this was the plan. We're part of the plan. Not the plan of Israel. Not the plan of, you know, a certain tribe of Israel. We are part of the plan which was hidden before the foundation of the world in God. Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." Now, I encourage you to go back and look at this phrase, "before the foundation of the world." And if you look at scriptures that pertain to from or since the foundation of the world, if you get the scriptures and compare them, you'll see a significant difference in the position that involves before the foundation of the world and compared to from or since the foundation of the world. "But according to he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, and we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him." Before the foundation of the world is where we find Christ, who is the source of the believer's eternal position. Christ was there securing the way of salvation with his blood. It is now revealed that we were chosen him at that time. Wow, this is incredible. Everything from or since the foundation of the world pertains to Israel and their calling. If you look at 1 Peter 19:20, we see that the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. When Christ was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, in his prayer he said something here: "Father, thy will that they also, whom thou givest me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Page 5. Today we have a separate calling and inheritance that was hidden in God before the foundation of the world. This body of truth Paul calls the mystery. It was given to be revealed after the close of Acts and was being brought to our attention in the but now in Colossians 1:25 and 26 and before the foundation of the world in Ephesians 1:3-14. Ephesians 3:9, starting there, says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, unto principalities and powers, in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he has purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Colossians 1:25-29, read along with me there. "Wherefore I made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God." See that phrase there, to fulfill the word of God. When God revealed the mystery, he said it completed the word of God. There's nothing that you can add to the scriptures after the mystery was given. So when Paul completed the Bible, it was by revealing the mystery, body of truth of the mystery. And that's what that phrase there, to fulfill the word of God, means. He says, "Even the mystery, which had hidden from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." God has a plan. That plan revealed was called the mystery. We're part of the mystery. We're part of his plan. Well, God's plan is good. Number two. Back in Genesis, we see that chapter 18, verse 25. "That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous from the wicked, and the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shalt not the judge of all the earth do right?" Now, this is in relation to God. You know, God is righteous. In Romans 8:28, it says, we know that all things work to the good, for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Page 6. So God has a plan. God's plan includes you. God is good. God has a plan. God's plan is good. And God's plan includes you. Ephesians 2:10. "For ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." 1 Timothy 6:17 says, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may hold on to eternal life." Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Christ." Philippians 2:12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for as God works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Now, I've taught church in the back with the teenagers, and this is one of my favorite verses because I'm always trying to make a fat man. If you got to be fat, you got to be faithful, available, and teachable. And to be able to teach others also. I believe the calling in the mystery is to be able to teach other Christians right division, and have them understand their calling and the plan that God has revealed to them, which is separate from Israel. Now, that's part of the problem today. As good as CHA is, they have a Baptist foundation. The Baptist denominations live in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They use scriptures that are Jewish as motivation for their actions. Now, is that bad? Well, no. You know, they're actively trying to do good works. They're using the wrong motivation. The Lord can use that. If you use the right motivation, the right scriptures, you understand that the mystery has its own blessings, has its own promises, has its own rules of the road. Paul told Timothy, be strong in the grace of the Lord that is in Christ Jesus. In the things that thou hast heard of men, many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Faithful, available, teachable. That's where I have my faithful, available, fat. If you didn't get that, fat man means faithful, available, teachable. Not like this. Well, bodily exercise profits a little. So I exercise a little. And I enjoy being fat. We are encouraged to study the scriptures, to be able to share the scriptures rightly divided with others, to help people see God's plan. Not only God's plan, but God's plan for them, which is revealed by the Apostle Paul in the mystery. Our plan in the mystery has certain attributes to it that are different than Israel's plan. God's plan in the mystery is good. And we find out how good it is in the mystery books. What a blessing we have by receiving Christ's inheritance. And God has a plan for you, which is to be faithful, available, and to teach others also. So I really enjoyed that Providence lesson at Thanksgiving at CHA. Even though they didn't realize how good that plan is that God has for us. But we're encouraged to do good works. We're encouraged to be actively involved in the scriptures. And we're encouraged to grow in Him. So let's finish in prayer. Father, we thank you for scriptures. We thank you for the plan and the mystery and the fact that it's been revealed to us. We're thankful that we can study your Word of God, rightly divided, and get to know all the things that you have planned for us, and encourage us that we would do the good works that you would have us do, and help us that we would be available to teach others also about the mystery and the right division. Encourage people to get in the scriptures and read them daily. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us in Christ, and we pray for his sake. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.